Greetings, my friends and my enemies. It is I, the Great One himself. I want to try to wrap all this up in this episode. So I'm going to try not to tangentize too much, but we all know that's a giant load of bullshit. Just got back from the gym, where I got to watch another girl who started off, I thought, oh, she's actually going to lift some weights. And then she spent most of her time looking at her cell phone. It's like, why are you here? Then there's this other one there. She was talking to this other guy, explaining how she didn't want to do too much exercise because she didn't want to get sweaty. Like, oh my God, okay, there it is. You can scream and shout with all your might. Came to the gym, I'm wearing workout gear. I have flaps of fat hanging over. But I don't want to get sweaty. Then what really stunned me is she said that she teaches yoga. And I'm thinking, all right, I guess it's true. Anybody can teach yoga. Greetings, I am the Great One himself. I am racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic. Whatever names you use when you can't think of a legitimate argument. Oh yeah, Donald Trump and KKK. Just say Donald Trump, KKK. Don't have any rational explanation or logical coherent process behind the things you say, believe, do, anything else. Just anytime anyone disagrees with you, just racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK. That's all you need to know. Those six words right there are essentially the entire school of philosophical thought of the left-wing statist social justice warrior. It really is. That's all they've got right now. I am the Great One himself. I'm the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I've been on the internet since 1999. I've been podcasting for 11 years. This is Stating the Obvious podcast, where I come on here and I state things that are obvious. This is fucking just as clear as a bell to me. Talk to a left-wing statist and tell me, disagree with a left-wing statist, and tell me if they come up with anything at all other than racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK. Tell me if they have any reasoning at all for anything they claim to believe, any law they want to implement, any restrictions they want to put on the behavior of other people. Not to emphasize again, not that right-wing statists are any better. Right-wing statists just utilize different tactics. Right-wing statists are going to make America great again without realizing that what we need to do is get rid of America and the state and let people be great on their own. I'm also noticing I didn't do a very good job of shaving, but you know, what else is new? Okay, so that was the gym. So then, there's this other girl at the gym. First one I've seen there that was actually serious. She was definitely over 30. And for somebody over the age of 30, she looked fantastic. And this girl was actually moving heavy objects and not staring at her cell phone. I was impressed. She was hot and she was actually doing a workout instead of just fucking posing. She'd have a little more makeup on than I think you need to go to the gym. But yeah, it's just my opinion here. Also, the other day, and we're going to get to... Oh, in the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. I got sidetracked. I started tangenting. Today is the 9th of March, 2016. And, of course, you can send me email, love mail, hate mail, death threats. You can type racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK in all capital letters and put a bunch of exclamation marks around it. You can even embed a Hello Kitty animated GIF. And send a picture of Hitler also. Whatever you want to do, you can send it. It's God. It's dog spelled backwards. God. It's C-Y-N-L-I-B SOC.com. The other day I was in a restaurant eating, well, and drinking, and people in the booth next to me were talking, and I was listening in on their conversations, and these are always fascinating. There's a lot going on, but, so the one guy is talking about how he's doing some stuff. Oh, yeah, he's an English major, and he's talking about how people give him crap about being an English major. I can't figure out why. And he's like, well, but they just don't understand what kind of English major I am. I'm an English major, and the things I'm studying are just like marketing. And he gives this example. He says, a lot of people don't realize that if you say things in different parts of the country, it's going to be received differently. So you could say something on the East Coast and then say exactly the same thing on the West Coast, and those two audiences would respond to what you said differently. And I thought to myself, if there are people who are in fact so fucking stupid, and let's be honest, we know that these people exist, if there are people who are so fucking dumb that they don't know that different parts, different geographical regions on the planet Earth have different backgrounds, cultures, customs, interpretations, local slang, different mythology, all of this stuff, and thus something you say in one geographical region of the earth could be interpreted one way, and yet you say the same thing on another geographical region of the earth, it could be interpreted differently. If there are in fact people in the United States who do not know that, once again, we see the case for natural selection. How do you get through 12 years of public education and not know things like that? Oh, that's right, because for 12 years, all you were told is that Republicans are going to destroy everything on the planet Earth, unless, of course, global warming beats them to it, because public education is a fucking joke. He actually threw that out as a rationale for why his English degree has value. This should be basic knowledge to anyone, I don't know, over the age of 14, should know that different geographical regions may interpret things differently. Is this really something you need to go to college to understand? And you kids wonder why I make fun of you. Then, the woman, there's two guys and two girls, one of the women starts asking the English major, she goes off into it, well, what's your sign? He's like, I'm a Capricorn. So, oh, that explains so much. Do you know your moon and sunshine? Your moon and sun sign? Because if you did, I think that would explain a lot about your personality and why. It's like, I'm thinking, oh my God. And I promise you, she's a Bernie Sanders supporter. And I'm just like, oh my God, you're talking about astrology as if it's real. I mean, it's astrology stuff. I think it's entertaining. I can read it. I often present myself as, like, for my sign, I am sort of the stereotypical person of my sign. But then everybody is, because these stereotypical personalities are written in a way to apply to a wide range of people. And so I will read a horoscope for entertainment purposes. And I will say, oh yeah, that person's a fucking, what do you call those? Gemini. Right? Gemini's split personality. Anybody who they're a Gemini, I'm like, oh God, that one's probably insane. And I will throw those commentaries out. But I don't really believe that your personality is determined by stars that are millions or billions of light years away. But then again, I don't believe that Bernie Sanders can give people free college and it's not going to cost any money. So I guess I'm not stupid. All right, speaking of stupid, I got to wrap this up with Scott Adams. As hilarious as this is, and I'm resisting the temptation to fuck things up. I'm fucking up the computer. Of course I am. What is this shit? I should close my email program. That looks interesting. All right, I'm resisting the temptation to go back and make fun of the two stupidest sentences I have ever read in my life. You heard about them in the previous episode. By the way, if you're showing up, this, even though the title doesn't reflect it, this is the third podcast in a series. This is episode 299. Episode 300 is coming up. I'm probably not going to do anything particularly special. This is 299, so you need to listen to 297 and 298 prior to this. I am ripping Scott Adams a new asshole because I've lost all respect for him because he's written some really stupid shit on his website. I will jump ahead just a second. I went to the website and took a look at... That reminds me of something I need to do real quick. I went and took a look at some of the comments, and there were a lot of comments. I did not read them in depth. I just glanced at them. And I was very happy to see that most of the comments were, in fact, pointing out flaws in Scott Adams' attempt at reasoning. So that was very heartening to me to see that a large number of people were recognizing this as complete bullshit. Okay, so we're getting rid of marriage, blah, blah, blah. Where did I leave off? Here we go. We left off right about here. Do you know why so many adults can't get the training they need for a job? Now, if you listen to the previous two episodes, you know the answer, of course, is marriage and kids. Not enough time or money left over. Which again, now the real solution is that if you don't have enough money and time to get married and have kids, you shouldn't get married and have kids. The solution is not to eliminate marriage. The solution is to stop subsidizing via taxation, wealth redistribution, marriage and having kids so that only people who can actually afford children will have children. But then, of course, the argument would be, but then the poor people aren't allowed to reproduce, as if, of course, poor people reproducing is a good thing. And racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK. Yeah, I know. And we know why the state wants poor people to reproduce, because the poor people need the state, as I've explained before. If you have a geographical region in which the vast majority, 85% of the people there, are sufficiently competent at taking care of themselves and generating wealth, that they do not need any type of subsidies, handouts, protections, social security, welfare net, food stamp, WIC, retirement plan sort of stuff. If you have a place where people are that wealthy, they will be capable of helping out the poor people on their own through voluntary means, and you're not going to need a state because it's never going to occur to them to have a state. Right? They're not going to need it. The successful people don't need a state to hold their hands. And if the successful people, the people who generate wealth, who have money, sufficiently outnumber the poor people, then providing for the poor people, and we can, you know, there's a whole discussion of what does this providing for the poor people look like, right? Do you give them a fish or do you teach them to fish? And that's a whole different discussion I'm not going to get into, because it's a very long, nuanced discussion, and there's a shit ton of different ways that in a ancapitalist society you could go about providing for the poor people. In the ancapitalist, where 85% of the people can support themselves and have plenty of money left over, you don't need a state. The state doesn't want to see that, of course. The state wants to get larger, to expand, to hire more government employees, to have more taxation, to have more regulations, and therefore the state has to actively discourage the competent people from reproducing and actively encourage the incompetent people at reproducing. Just as I've talked before, so does religion. Religion requires incompetent people, people who are terrified of everything, people who need priests to tell them right from wrong and good from bad and control their actions. Religions also thrive on breeding incompetent people. So when you throw together a nation state like the United States, where we have both the state and religions, as I've said before, it's basically just a breeding war, right? You've got the religious people trying to breed like crazy, and then you've got the welfare people trying to breed like crazy. And it's just a race to see who can spit out the most children first, who will do the most amount of voting to send the nation in the more religious direction, or the nation in the more welfare direction, thanks to the incredible wonders of democracy, which make all of this actually happen. Democracy, the beautiful failure that it is. I'm drinking hot tea also. It's my favorite, Honeybush. All right, back to reading. Now, look around at your friends over 30 and ask yourself which ones have financial problems. Is it the divorced ones? Yes, it is. Marriage leads to divorce about half the time, which often leads to emotional and financial ruin. Now, again, Scott Adams is really good at never presenting any kind of supporting evidence. I've heard that the marriage leading to divorce half the time statistic is actually not accurate. I haven't done the research, so I can't say for sure. But what I was reading is that, what I read is the person who said this was saying that what they're doing is they're taking the number of marriages in a year and the number of divorces in a year, in a given calendar year, and that the number of divorces in that given calendar year are approximately half of the number of marriages. But, as the person pointed out, this doesn't account for the people who got married the year before and are still married, and the people married the year before that and are still married, and the people married the year before that year who are still married, right? So the number of marriages is not something where you can just say, well, how many people got married this year and how many people got divorced this year, and thus X percentage of marriages end in divorce, because you have all these marriages from previous years, some of which did end in divorce, but some of which didn't. And again, this is why I always caution you that anytime somebody gives you a statistic, they're lying. All statistics are lies. I've talked about this extensively. I continuously recommend the book, How to Lie with Statistics. I'm sure you can find it on Amazon.com or at the library. If you have not read this book, it is absolutely required reading. Required reading. Trust me on this. All statistics, in some form or another, are a manipulation of the truth. I grew up, not me, Scott Adams did. I've never grown up. I think we all know that. I grew up in a family with modest means, but my mother insisted that all three kids go to college. I got lucky because my mother showed me the doorway to a better life. But I know people whose parents never mentioned college because they knew they couldn't pay for it, or they didn't recognize the value. Why did those kids get screwed? Answer: marriage. So you see, it's the fault of the concept of marriage that these parents did not mention college to their children, because of course their children grew up under a rock, or maybe they grew up in Arkansas, where there was no such thing as books, magazines, televisions, radios, advertisements, newspapers, other people. And so these kids grew up and had never heard of the concept of college before. If an organized collective raised kids, all of them would have the same options and information. So you see, if we got rid of marriage and children were all raised by an organized collective, they would all have the same options and information. Now at this point, we're saying all of them, all kids. All kids means all children. Let's assume that Scott Adams is not talking about the entire planet Earth, even though I think he is. Let's assume he's only talking about the geographical region controlled by the legal fiction known as the United States government. For all children in the United States of America to have the same options and information, they would all, of course, have to be raised by the same collective. And how exactly does every child have these same options? Okay, let's think about this. First of all, let's say you have a child who is mentally retarded. I don't mean mentally retarded like Bernie Sanders, like insulting people mentally retarded. I mean legitimately mentally retarded. Their brain chemistry has a disorder that they do not function at the same level as people who do not have that disorder. So the mentally retarded child, the mentally retarded 18-year-old, will have the same options as an 18-year-old who has an IQ of 170. To make that happen, you either have to make a PhD in particle physics as obtainable for a retarded 18-year-old as it is for an 18-year-old with 170 points of IQ, or you have to eliminate the existence of a PhD in particle physics and limit the 170 point IQ 18-year-old to achieving things that can also only be achieved by the mentally retarded 18-year-old. Now, meanwhile, you also have another 18-year-old who's really fucking good at basketball. I mean, this guy is basketball player motherfucker. He is fucking Dr. J. You kids don't even know who Dr. J is because, oh, God, you're such, oh, God, I feel sorry for you. You guys have Dennis Rodman. Oh, Jesus. Is he even still a thing? Dr. J, Julius Erving. Oh, man, he was badass. So this kid, he's like a little Dr. J. But you see, either the retarded child and the 170 IQ child, teenager, young adult, 18 or whatever, either they can also get a basketball scholarship and play basketball on the college team. Because Scott Adams isn't trying to eliminate college. He sure as hell is going to keep college, because college is a place where liberals who have never actually done anything in their life and contributed anything to the economy, it's a place where they can go and get paid money to continue being parasites. We're not going to get rid of college. No, no, of course not. So either all three of them can get a basketball scholarship and perhaps go on to even play professional basketball, or none of them can get a basketball scholarship. And since the 170 IQ kid and the retarded kid aren't as good at basketball as Dr. J Jr., will the college basketball team need to be eliminated so that all three of them have the same options? You, my friend who's listening to this, you have to, when you read anything, when you hear anything, you have to think about it on this level. And again, let me emphasize, this includes me too. Man, I love it when somebody calls me out on some shit, not with racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK, because then I just would, you know, rub my ball sack in your face and slap you. But when you really listen to something that I say on this podcast, and I don't give a shit how you interpret the show notes necessarily either, because the show notes that I put on the website are often, first of all, they're vague, they're incomplete, sometimes they're sensationalized, because that's clickbait. That's just to get people to show up. I'll be the first one to tell you, it's just clickbaiting. It's to get you to listen to the podcast. If you've actually listened to the podcast, you listen to my words, and I say something, and it sounds as stupid as this does, and you fucking explain to me, you know what you just said sounds stupid, and here's why, and you break it down, I love that. I love that. Because it tells me that you're not just mindlessly fucking believing anything I say, which you, God knows you shouldn't. There ain't no God, but if God was existing, God would fucking tell you, don't believe everything this motherfucker says just because it comes out of his mouth. It tells me that you're really listening and thinking and paying attention and analyzing and saying, okay, here's a reason why I think you're wrong about that shit. If an organized collective raised kids, all of them would have the same options and information. Really, every child would have the same information. So any information presented to one child would have to be presented to all of them. So what if one of the children read a book that some of the other children did not read? Would the other children then be forced to read the book that the one child read? Or would their exposure to information be limited only to the information which could be understood by the retarded child? See, this is what equality looks like. This is equality. And this is why equality is the worst fucking thing that can happen. We don't want everybody to be equal, okay? We want the retarded child to be retarded and to be cared for and to hopefully be loved, and his parents are going to love him. The collective sure as fuck isn't. The idea that the collective, this collective, is going to care. No, the collective is going to see the retarded child as a burden. We want the 170 IQ kid to pick up where Stephen Hawking is when he dies. And we want Dr. J. Jr. to play some basketball and to entertain people and to enjoy playing basketball and to have, you know, to be part of a good basketball team. We don't want them to have the same option. Well, the royal we. I just invoked the royal we. Whew, I was close. I caught myself. I want them to all have different options and different information. But then again, I'm not Scott Adams. I'm not bleeding between my legs. I'm not terrified of being called racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK. I'm not a giant fucking vagina pussy. I'm not an attention whore. My best guess is that 75% of kids are damaged by bad parenting. Here again, I am comparing it to some sort of co-op arrangement in which the kids are never the captive victims of a drunken parent, a stupid parent, a violent parent, a mentally disturbed parent, an unreasonable parent, a too demanding parent, and so on. And in the co-op system, no one is making their son play football because it is fun to watch despite the brain injuries. So who exactly is running this co-op? Because so none of the people running this co-op are going to be drunk, stupid, violent, mentally disturbed, unreasonable, or too demanding. Okay, who are these angelic, perfect, enlightened beings who are running the co-op? Is this co-op going to be staffed entirely by Buddhist monks? And why are all these people who have, so 75% of kids are victims of these people. So what you're telling me is there's 25% of kids who are not victimized by these people that he talks about. So all the parents of that 75% of children, did any of them have mothers? And we know that women are perfect. Women can do anything. Women are the best at everything. So all of these people were raised by women. How many of them were raised by single mothers who are, of course, strong, independent, glorious, noble, hardworking, wonderful, doing such a great job of raising their children on their own because they don't need a man as long as they get food stamps, welfare, WIC, Social Security, alimony, child support payments, and all sorts of discounts, including free education for their children, free child support, free birth control, free abortions. These 75% of parents who are drunk, stupid, violent, mentally disturbed, unreasonable, and too demanding, did any of them have 12 years of public education, and which was controlled by the state, a co-op, and staffed primarily by women who are strong and independent and, you know, understanding, and if only women ran the world, everything would be perfect. These 75% of parents, or 75% of children, rather, do they have parents who went to college? The common factor here isn't that marriage is a bad thing. Again, the common factor here is that people who shouldn't be having children are having children. Why are they having children? Tax breaks, tax deductions, welfare. In Ancapidice, if you want to reproduce, you're going to have to be able to feed your own kids. If you can't, you and the kids are going to starve to death. This is going to, and initially in the transition, there'd be people who would keep on breeding because they wouldn't be smart enough to understand that no, there really aren't any food stamps. There really is no welfare. But after people start dying of starvation because they have too many kids, other people will get the message. Right? It's just like in Ancapidice, as I've explained before extensively, and so I'll try to keep this short. We know that's bullshit. In Ancapidice, there will be no rape. Because Ancapidice will happen. You know, there will be some rapes initially, and then the rapist will be either killed by the women themselves or killed by the relatives, friends, and family of the women. As opposed to now, where if a man rapes a woman, he is protected by the criminal justice system and by the police. They come and they protect him from the consequences of what he's done and keep him alive so that he can breed with more women to breed more rapists so that you have more crime, because the state, of course, wants more crime, because more crime generates the need for more police forces, for more taxes, for more weapons, for more police cars, for more helicopters, for more surveillance, for more drones. In Ancapidice, you have about 2 weeks where there'll be a spike in the number of rapes, and then all the men who are rapists and the women who are rapists will all be killed. They'll be dead. Their DNA will not continue. They won't be raping other people. It'll be over with. And you'll have virtually no rape whatsoever. I know. I'm racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK. I know. Nonetheless, what I'm saying is true. When the police officers are not there to protect the rapist from being killed by the father of the man he raped, the rapist will be dead. This is a fact. How about terrorism? This is great. That's mostly a marriage problem in the Middle East. Yes, you see, my friends, terrorism, which we can now invoke to justify virtually anything, terrorism, according to Scott Adams, is caused by marriage. And apparently this means he is, in fact, talking about eliminating marriage, not in the United States, but across the entire planet. There will be a co-op, a single co-op, that raises every child on the planet Earth to make sure every one of them have the same options and information. And you thought Bernie Sanders was stupid with the idea that he's going to give everybody free college. How about terrorism? That's mostly a marriage problem in the Middle East. In this case, the powerful Muslim men marry multiple women, and there are no other religion-approved outlets for male sexuality. That creates millions of young male zombies willing to die for the chance to get laid in heaven. Literally, that's their best option. Okay. Powerful men having more women than weak men, sure. I like how the Muslim religion that tells them they can get virgins in heaven for dying doesn't get any of the blame. But the fact is, anywhere you go, women are always going to fuck the most powerful men. Here in the United States, I mean, again, there's the evidence I ran across lately, I don't remember the study as I have it in front of me, basically summing it up, it was saying that 80% of women are reproducing, but 40% of men are reproducing. That means 60% of the men, 20% of the women in the United States are not reproducing. Essentially, what this means is, and there's a lot of, again, statistics, you can fudge this a lot of ways, but we're back to the 80-20 rule. 40% of the men are fucking 80% of the women. And guess what? That's always going to happen. Women will always get the highest quality man to have sex with that they can. This doesn't mean women are evil. This is natural. This is called evolution. Women want to have sex with the highest quality man. Higher quality men get to have sex with more religion. This is not a result of marriage. This is a result of biology, which apparently Scott Adams disavows biology the same way he disavows Donald Trump. Women reading this are doing face palming and scoffing so hard that spittle is everywhere. Really? Why and why are they doing this? But it is a fact of life that men with no options for female attention drift toward thoughts of suicide. And of course, this is why feminism, which is so concerned with the equality of men and women, is working so hard to ridicule men and create a culture in which looking at a woman is rape and you can be attacked and ridiculed and lose your job if you talk to a woman, ask a woman out on a date, or anything else. society has taught us, and biology has primed us, to value the mating / reproductive process as our main purpose in life. People who have no purpose look for other options. Okay, I don't disagree with that too much. Why is a young male terrorist best option for female attention to kill himself in an act of terror? It's because the preferred form of marriage in ISIS territory makes that the best available choice for some young people. So, it's the preferred form of marriage in ISIS territory. Again, notice how there's no blame assigned to the religion of peace, Islam. Why is a terrorist best option for female attention? Well, no, his best option, if you're a Muslim, your best option for female attention is to immigrate to Germany and rape yourself some nice little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girls. Instead of getting rid of marriage, which you can't get rid of anything, it's, again, how are we, Scott Adams does not address how he's getting rid of marriage, how he's dealing with gay marriage. They just got their equality by being able to get married. So, I mean, are we going to make marriage illegal? Will, if you get married, will you be put in a cage? Will you be fined? Will you be exterminated? Will you be put in a concentration camp? How exactly is this getting rid of marriage? This is right up there with, I'm going to shut down Guantanamo Bay and I'm going to give everybody free college. It's like, okay, great. You're going to get rid of marriage. You want to explain to me how you're going to do that? Whenever this goes back to analyzing, whenever anybody, and you can include me in this too, when somebody says some shit like, the royal we need to get rid of marriage. Explain to me how the fuck you're going to make that happen. Explain to me, we need to get rid of guns. Okay. Who's collecting the guns? What are you going to do with them? How much money is that going to cost? Where's the money going to come from? What are you going to do when people don't want to give up their guns? Will you shoot them? Will you put them in cages? Who's going to pay for maintaining the cages that you put them in? How long will they be in a cage? I know, well, racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK. It's like hope and change. What does that mean? Explain to me in detail the process of hope and change. How are you going to give everybody free college? Well, we're going to tax rich people. What rich people? How much income is rich? What percentages? Who's going to administrate this money? What federal bureaucracy will hand the money out? How will the money be handed out? How much money will people be allowed to get? Who will control this bureaucracy? Where will its headquarters be? What will the process be of getting the money? Will it be, on and on and on and on and on? Well, those things don't matter. No, those things do matter. Well, you're racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK. And I just won the argument. You can read a version of this opinion in the New York Times. You'll find this idea more compelling coming from a credible manager. Yes, there are plenty of reasons for terrorism in the 2D world, but in the 3D world of moist robots, most of the problem is because of too many men with too few options that are compatible with their biology. The way they rationalize their terror is through filters of politics, religion, and other ridiculousness. So again, what if we got rid of politics and religion? It's not two people saying, hey, let's make babies together and have a family, that is the problem. It's the politics and the religion, otherwise known as the state. That's what makes it okay in their view, but all causes are biological. So he says here that all the causes are biological. So in order to get rid of the causes, the biological causes, his answer is to get rid of marriage. Okay. Science knows we are meat puppets that rationalize our actions after the fact. It's true. Indeed we do. How about happiness in general? What does marriage do to that? God. Take the example of two single people over 40 going on a date. At least one of them, probably both, has kids at home with a sitter, or maybe out causing mayhem in one way or another. Okay, well, why did you fucking reproduce without a partner who's going to stick by you? Like, you know, stealing this right from Stefan Molyneux. I mean, even when you get married, before you start spitting out kids, actually make sure you're going to stay together. Make sure you're going to be committed to having the kids. And I'm going to, once we get to the end of all this, I'm going to expand. Whoa, fuck. Did I just fuck that up, Randy? I'm going to expand on this in some ways you may not be expecting, or you may be expecting, if you have heard the podcast I did many, 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 many years ago about monogamous marriage and why it was a bad idea. Because even though I'm ripping Scott Adams a new asshole on all of this because he's an attention-seeking whore who's bleeding between the legs and needs to change his Kotex, he's not entirely wrong. And I'll explain where we overlap and how we overlap and then how we digress and why, even though he's right about some things, he's still a totalitarian piece of shit. And he knows it. All right. Two people over 40, one of them probably has kids, maybe they shouldn't have fucking reproduced, but we can't ever tell people don't reproduce because everybody thinks they have a fucking right to spit out children. Those two parents are not really in the room with each other if they brought their phones, which they did. Okay, marriage doesn't cause cell phones. Cell phone addiction is caused by being a fucking attention whore like the girls at the gym. Those two are still with the kids, one text message after another. I call this situation dating a cyborg because the person and the phone are one. Yes, they are. How can you fix that? Get rid of marriage. So the way to separate people from their cell phones, according to Scott Adams, is to get rid of marriage. Because getting rid of marriage will stop people from being short attention spanned attention whores. Okay, yeah. No explanation of how this is going to happen, but sure. Get rid of marriage. Marriage causes the family unit. Marriage caused the family unit. No, families existed before marriage. Remember, what is marriage? Marriage is getting permission from the state to live with another person and get certain financial social benefits. I hate to break this to you, Adams, you fucking moron. Family units happened before the government gave people permission to get married. Back in the days when we were all just grunting and groaning, people would fuck and make little babies. And you had family units. Now, the family unit may have been one man with multiple women. It may have been multiple men, multiple women. Could have been all sorts of variations. But family units, fucking and making babies, existed before the slaves, the 99%ers, the inferior people, were given permission to get married by the state. Marriage, so we're fixing the cell phone problem. These people are looking at their cell phones only because of their children. See, there's no other reason they might be looking at their cell phone all the time instead of paying attention to the other person in front of them. It's only caused by children, and children are only caused by marriage. Wait a minute, what about all the single mothers who've never been married and yet have children and are looking at their cell phone while they're on a date? How exactly was this caused by marriage? Get rid of marriage. Let's find out. Maybe he's going to tell us. Get rid of marriage. Marriage caused the family unit and then caused the broken family unit with no support. No support? Food stamps, welfare, WIC, income tax deductions, alimony, child support, free public schooling, daycare, subsidized daycare, no support. If the kids had always been part of the co-op system, they would have plenty of people to answer their questions while their parents are out having fun. Because the parents can't make friends with other people, the parents can't hire babysitters, the children can't make friends and stay at their friend's house with their friend's parents. Scott Adams is calling here not just for this co-op to raise these kids, but this is like, this co-op apparently is going to have total control over every aspect of your social life and your interaction with other human beings. Oh, but wait, it gets even better. Climate change. Totally a marriage problem. Yes, my friends, you see, climate change, he avoids calling it global warming, climate change is caused by marriage. Until people got married, the climate of the planet Earth never changed. Climate change is, quote, totally, not partially, totally a marriage problem. Apparently there's going to be a part 4 in which we will look at how marriage is the sole driver of climate change. And here, all this time, you thought it was Republicans. Racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK.